let me take this opportunity to welcome you from the much deserved Easter break. I hope we all observed, what goes with Easter. There are so many things that goes with Easter. And a special word of welcome to our guest today. But of course, they are part of our family, the AFC, who are here to present a step plan for financial year 2012 to 2014. Members, without any waste of time, let me just take this opportunity to just to remind you that the institution that we are hosting here today is the same institution that we dealt with in the previous year. It's the same institution that is still encountering the so-called Hollywood syndrome, the 18 chairs, the 18 this, the 18 that. It's the same institution that the AG raised concern around the capability of the accounting officer on the financial practices, oversight around financial practices of the institution. It's the same institution that recorded some, so-called, I think it was irregular expenditure. So now today they are here to present to ourselves what is, they are playing, among other things, to deal with some of these issues. As a critical, institution that is there, to serve as a source of advice and research in as far as the financial issues are concerned, and also in as far as our mandate is concerned, as the Parliament and as members of Parliament elected by our respective constituencies. So without any waste of time, Acting Chairperson and your team, you are welcomed. You are at home. And I am going then to afford you an opportunity to take us to your play. Of course, it deals with some of the issues that were raised last year, and that it deals with the problems that you continue to encounter at this strategic institution. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me start off by putting on in an apology for the delay in the arrival of the copies of the presentation. They were actually being made in our Cape Town office, and I think they might have had a bit of a glitch in terms of finalizing the printing, but they will be joining us shortly. I have with me today two fellow commissioners. To my immediate left is Commissioner David Savage, who is a part-time commissioner. And next to him is Commissioner Tanya Ajam, who is also a part-time commissioner. I have to my right the secretary of the commission. And then shortly we will be joined by the Chief Financial Officer and the Director of the Research Program, and our Cape Town Parliamentary Liaison Officer will be joining us as well. If you allow me, sir, to proceed, I will basically want to start off with some few remarks that I want to make before we can actually get into the presentation. I think it is important for me to begin where we were last year at this particular point in time. So let me just introduce the colleagues that have just joined us. Next to Commissioner Ajam is Mr. Mavuso Vovane. He is the Chief Financial Officer. And next to him is Dr. Ramos Mapuku, that's the Research Director. Henry Exton, I'm sure most of you know him. He's at the back there. I was indicating that I want to start where we started last year at this point in time, and by making reference to some of the issues that this committee raised, which resulted in us actually making written submission against those issues that were raised. The first issue that was raised by this committee was the concern that the commissioners were not present, so we were requested to submit written notes on why the commissioners were not available and provide reasons why that should be the case. So we did make that submit that letter through to the chairperson, and hopefully it was shared with the committee. We did also make a proposal that because of the nature of the structure of the commission and the commissioners' own engagement in terms of their work process, and also in terms of the work plan of Parliament, it is sometimes very much, it might be impossible to indeed be able to get all commissioners present all at the same time as and when Parliament decides. For example, in this particular round, we had been given the 18th as the date that we would actually be expected to come and brief the committee, but the date was then changed to the 17th. So two of the commissioners that would have been available as extra commissioners were no longer available because of that change. So it becomes necessary that the committee is then requested, as we did, to be flexible in terms of the expectations of the number of commissioners that can be available at any one point in time. And because we did not get any formal request in terms of that, we assumed that our submission was in order, and we decided as a commission that at least if for key meetings that require the commission's presence, if we can have at least half of the number of the commissioners present, we would be very happy. But we must also get a written apologies, which we did send to the chairperson yesterday, for those commissioners that cannot join us. So it's three commissioners that unfortunately could not be able to join us, and so I'm putting their apologies again, chairperson, for the record. Now, the other issue that we discussed at this point last year was the commission's, at that point, we were projecting a budget deficit. And we were basically carrying also an accumulated deficit, which basically had risen to around about 3 million or 3 million and something. We had a discussion around that. We tried to provide explanations as to why that deficit was that. It had a very long legacy. We also then subsequently presented an analysis of where the deficit was coming from and where what we were doing, what we were putting in place to try and address that deficit. So we made a submission on that when we presented our annual report around the deficit. We then also, at this point, discussed the issue of vacancies at the commission. I did indicate that as a commission, there is nothing that we can do about the vacancies at the commission. So what we were seeking was the assistance of Parliament. I think subsequent to that, I have in fact written submissions on this particular matter to the chairperson of this committee. Had on occasion a number of occasions discussed with the chairpersons of the other finance committees, namely the standing the select committee on finance, select committee on appropriations, and the select committee and the standing committee on appropriations chairpersons. I have discussed this matter. I have also discussed this matter with the Office for Institutions Supporting Democracy. I have discussed the matter with the Minister of Finance and made written submissions about it. The Deputy Minister of Finance I've discussed the matter with the Director General at the Presidency and the Director General at the National Treasury. I've discussed the matter with the Executive Committee of SALGA, because one of the vacancies is a SALGA vacancy. So the matter is basically, as far as we are concerned from the Commission side, out of our control. I have in the past week received phone calls from the National Treasury requesting that I submit CVs or names of people that can be appointed to the Commission, and I said that is not legally my responsibility. I would be able to assist in that if I can get a written a request from the minister, then I can actually be able to do that. Otherwise, that is not my responsibility. I basically, this is something that is not within my hands, so that all I can say is that it's not been addressed. It does have significant impacts for the Commission. I personally have been acting chairperson since September 2010, I think, alone. That commission is supposed to have a chairperson full-time and a deputy chairperson full-time. I've been doing that job alone since that time. I've had, I must say, a significant support from the colleagues in the commission who are otherwise part-time commissioners. One of the colleagues that I've singled out is Commissioner Tanya Ajang, who has actually taken time off from her own schedules and dedicated a number of days during the week to dedicate to the commission's business. That has actually taken a bit of a burden off my back. She has done that at a significant cost to herself, because I did indicate last year that part of our concerns at the commission is the remuneration, especially as it pertains to part-time commissioners, which is basically has not been reviewed since 2008. And even at that point, it was actually at a very low level. That's like 1996 levels, so whatever they were, just adjusted on an annual basis for inflation. And we basically have been operating like that, but she has actually dedicated her time to do that. And I think as a commission, we are all very grateful that she has actually done that service to the commission and her country. I think it's something that is worth celebrating from our side. The next issue that we discussed was the issue of the deficit, as I indicated earlier. Now, that deficit, we have engaged quite extensively with the National Treasury from our side. And as a result of those engagements, we have managed to secure an adjustment to our budget for the 2012-2013 MTEF, to the tune of around 7 million over the MTEF, specifically to deal with that particular issue of the deficit, and also to deal with the audit fees that we highlighted as playing a very key role in that deficit. Now, I must say that whilst we were very happy to receive that increase, we were expecting a lot more than that. For example, we expected an adjustment budget for the 2011-12, as we had tried to indicate when we presented our strategic plan, that we had expected an adjustment in that budget, but that did not happen. But be that as it may, we did indicate at that time that we were putting in place certain cost containment measures that would see us making a dent on that deficit. And I'm very happy to say that in this coming year, because we're just closing the books now, but in terms of our projections, we think that we have actually achieved of making a dent on that budget deficit that we have, and hopefully in the next 2 years, in terms of our plan, we basically wanting to wipe it off completely, irrespective of whether we receive any further adjustments. We are hoping to be able to have reversed that situation completely over this this period. The other issues that I must actually raise up front are the issues that related to the Auditor General's report. Now, there were two major issues that I consider to have been major issues that were worth us having a discussion around. There were three, in fact. The one was the irregular expenditure, which was incurred as a result of a service provider who did not have a valid tax clearance certificate. We did provide an explanation to that, and we did indicate to this committee around that particular matter that we had, in fact, decided to keep that service provider till the end of the financial year, and that is the financial year 2010-11. And the reason why the Auditor General raised it as an issue was that when they did the audit, that person was still in place. But that person has since been, the contract has since been terminated. By the time we had a discussion with you, we had already given them a notice that their contract would be terminated immediately as a result of them failing to supply a tax clearance certificate. There were technical issues that resulted in us not terminating in November, simply because of the sensitive nature of the information that we deal with, and also on the basis of the advice that we had obtained from CETA at that particular point in time. So we basically had reasons to do that, and the Commission basically also condoned that irregular expenditure. It wasn't expenditure that was wasted. It was simply an issue of non-compliance on the part of the service provider and on ourselves as a result, not complying with a certain clause of the supply chain management regulations. That matter has since been resolved and put to rest. We no longer have issues of that nature at the Commission, so we definitely we have just completed our interim audit, and that matter is a matter that has actually been resolved completely. The second issue was an issue of fruitless and wasteful expenditure. We did indicate at the time when we presented our annual report that the issue of fruitless and wasteful expenditure was an issue that was being contested by the Commission with the South African Revenue Service. Now, by the time we came to present, we did indicate that the Auditor General had been made aware that SARS had since written to the Commission admitting that it was actually going to reverse the charges that it has imposed on the Commission in terms of the interest, because that was interest paid on what was referred to as late submission of SARS payments by the Commission. Now, we did indicate that that was not the case, and we had raised an objection with SARS, and when we made our presentation here, we did indicate that the Auditor General could not change that report, because at the time of the audit, SARS had not responded to the Commission. They responded after the AGA completed their report, and so they refused to change it. We couldn't convince them to change or to reverse the finding that they had made. And indeed, they agreed with us that this was not actually an issue, but it was an issue in terms of this house. And therefore, we must report again that, as we had indicated, The Commission was dedicated in that regard. We did not incur any fruitless and wasteful expenditure in that particular financial year. The third factor was obviously the issue of the going concern, which has linked to the accumulated deficit and I've already spoken to. The other small matters that were raised there around performance information, we have engaged with the Auditor General. In fact, we had a workshop with the AG at the beginning of the year to basically look at how, from the audit perspective, information needs to be presented. And we are basically happy with the work that has since been done. Unfortunately, when they did the interim audit, they did not look at the performance information, but we're pretty confident that that will not be an issue come the end of this financial year. So, Chairperson, with that background, unless there are issues that the members wish to raise before I get into the main presentation, I would put myself in your hands.
All right, thank you very much for that the detailed briefing on how you have handled some of the issues. But I must indicate to members that we are not independent performance assessment meeting. We are here to deal with the strength plan that is for the earmarked financial years. So we are still going to have a bite on how we have dealt with some of the issues in our annual report sessions, which will come sometime during the course of this year. So for now, let's not be tempted and go back. I was just trying to remind members that we are from this era and now we are here. So let's just try when we interrogate the threat plan, let us not forget some of these backgrounds. Because to me, it's very critical. I mean, for us to understand how some of these gaps are going to be closed by the proposed threat plan, you know. So we are not going to open for further discussions on your submission, but we will link your submission with the threat plan. And by so saying, I'm allowing you to proceed with your presentation. Thank you. As I indicated.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. Can I ask Mr. Exton to distribute the copies of the presentation? Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, the key focus areas for the Commission in 2011-12, which basically are the areas that inform the strategic plan going forward, basically looking at what we call evidence-based policy advice on intergovernmental financing, innovation for moving people out of poverty. There are a couple of themes that basically arise out of that. It's the issue of inclusive growth, the issue of jobs, the knowledge economy, and the issues around regional development. It basically speaks to the issues around local government, specific area issues. There are issues around climate change and environmental sustainability and opportunities and risks for inclusive growth and innovation. I think the issue of inclusive growth is important in view of the fact that in the past, South Africa has experienced periods of fairly decent growth, which unfortunately did not reflect in job creation and poverty reduction. And so it's important that as we look at the future going forward, that we have already in place that we are probably might not be implementing sufficiently are actually taken into consideration, because they have a role to play in the inclusivity of growth that the country experiences. There are issues around institutional development for inclusive growth and innovation. Now, the recommendations around this will be tabled in May, probably a month's time from now. We will be tabling the recommendations around these areas. This is what we were working on in 2011-12 that also informs how we are moving forward. We have also a stakeholder perception survey that we did and we distributed last year that basically indicated some disjuncture in terms of what the Commission is doing in certain areas with what the key stakeholders of the Commission basically request. One of the issues that relates to this that we had to deal with, that we also made a formal submission around, is the issue of the role of the Commission in supporting this particular committee and what we think the imminent Parliamentary Budget Office must do, whether or not in the presence of that Parliamentary Budget Office the Commission would still be a relevant institution. We did make a formal submission to the chairpersons of the four finance committees of Parliament in that regard. We were hoping to get some responses, but we haven't. But it's fine. We hope we have met our point and clearly stated that the Commission has got its own mandate. In terms of how we then conduct our work, we have to decide step up our interaction with our stakeholders as a result of the stakeholder perception survey and impact assessment that we conducted. The first step to doing that basically was some public hearings on local government, on the local government fiscal framework. We thought that was a very key area or that requires intervention, judging on the discussions that have been taking place, especially around the less capacitated municipalities and whether the current fiscal framework for local government is conducive for addressing the problems that some of the municipalities are faced with. That's now a process that we have institutionalized. The second set of these public hearings, which will result in final recommendations from the Commission, will be held in June of this year. The other arm of these public hearings was on housing-related issues. I'm sure that this committee is very much aware of the challenges that housing delivery in South Africa is faced with. And we have conducted the first set of those public hearings. The second set will be in August. And again, as with the fiscal framework for local government, we will be tabling some recommendations about the time, but the problem statements basically will be finalized by October of the problem statements are finalized in October. The first set of recommendations will be presented soon after the public hearings have been held. At the moment, a lot of technical work is actually being conducted around that in preparation for those public hearings at the Commission. The other area that we are dealing with as a key area is the base deficit issue. I have already indicated that for this coming year, at least we have in the MTF, we have received around 7 million rand from the National Treasury. I think the first 3 odd million, comes in this particular financial year, 2012-13. To deal with the deficit and then also to deal with the audit fees going forward. As CFO will present the details around these things. The challenges, I think most of them, Mashumi, if you will, I have actually spoken about them. So I will basically want you to skip that. Now, here, basically, we just deal with the mandates of the Commission. I don't think that I need to go through that. I think it's very clear what the mandate of the Commission is. The enabling legislation, I think, one piece of legislation that needs to be added there is the Systems Act. Is it on the next page? There was an amendment to the Municipal Systems Act last year that basically has created some new area of work for the Commission, and that amendment is
in relation to Section
71 of that Act, which requires that before the South African Local Government Association embarks on the negotiations with the unions, it must actually consult the Commission. We have tried to have discussions with SAUDA on how we are actually going to deal with that particular issue, and we have not yet reached a finality. They are just now about to embark on that process, and it will obviously present some challenges for the Commission in terms of how we actually then engage with the process, because the process also has its own timetable. And when you receive something at this point in time and then they need to do it maybe within the next 3 months or so, it becomes quite problematic for the Commission. So we are busy trying to finalize some protocols of engagement around this particular issue, and also to try and understand how the other parties in that whole process must actually be dealt with if and when they request information from the Commission. But that's something that we will be dealing with as we move forward. I have indicated that we still have challenges with the vacancies in the Commission, and I think what we've done is to indicate exactly the period over which these vacancies have existed, and as you can see, that creates a significant problem. Some of them is 33 months. The chairperson is actually 21 months. And I think in terms of the FFC Act, vacancies need to be filled within 90 days, I think. They need to be filled within 90 days of them being available. So that's a significant issue. But as I have indicated, I have been contacted last week by the National Treasury, which indicates to me that there is some process that is underway. I think one of the other issues that we had as a problem that we're still dealing with, which we will be dealing with in this year, is some of the provisions of the Financial and Fiscal Commission Act that are problematic in terms of us implementing our mandate. One such problem or challenge is the issue of the chairperson being the chief executive officer and accounting officer of the Commission. In terms of the PFMA, the executive authority of the Commission also becomes the chairperson of the Commission, and that creates a big problem. What we have done was to engage with the National Treasury and the Minister and request an amendment to the FFC Act. And that amendment, a draft amendment bill, has been sent to us. It's still at a technical level. It is actually being done. And one of the issues is to basically separate that, and hopefully that will be done during the course of this year. That is what we aim to do. There are a number of other issues that have to deal with how the Commission engages with government departments or organs of state on issues relating to its mandate. I will give you an example of a situation.
situation that we are dealing with now, which is also problematic because we received a letter from SAGA around the impact or the perceptions of the impact of the adjudication of what is it called? Of Road Traffic Offences Act, ARTO, the impact that it will have on municipalities. You recall that there were two municipalities that were pilots in that process. That was Johannesburg and Tshwane. In terms of what's the assessment of these two municipalities, it is that it is going to have significant financial implications, the implementation of ATO. We have significant financial implications for these municipalities. And we then wrote to the minister seeking inputs around, because normally when you pass legislation, you've got to look at the financial and fiscal implications, and if it's got financial and fiscal implications of an intergovernmental nature, so that's like across the spheres of government, there is a provision in the FFC Act that requires a process around those financial and fiscal implications. Now, we wrote to the Minister of Transport. We got a response from the acting chief executive officer of the Road Traffic Motor Management Corporation, which we are still trying to discuss with him. We are still trying to get a meeting with them. We have not been able to do so now. In terms of our work, we normally work on at least a 3 month basis. We sent those letters very late in January, I think it was. And by now we should have been finalizing our own work in response to SAGA, but we can't do that. So in terms of the amendments that we are proposing in the FFC Act, we need to find a way of actually dealing with those particular engagements with the organs of state and departments. In terms of the vision, these are the key issues: to enhance the developmental impact of public resources through the financial and fiscal system in South Africa, and that's the mission there. Can you move on? The strategic goals of the Commission basically going in this year 2011-12 to 2013-14, that's the strategy. We'll move to the APP, which is 2012-13 shortly. The goals, basically, there are six key goals. The first one is a stable IGFR system. The system of intergovernmental fiscal relations is sustainable and equitable. That's what the Commission must actually ensure in terms of how we interpret the mandate from the Constitution. Strategic foresight basically is that as a Commission, we are not only looking at the present. We are actually anticipating what the future looks like. And we need to make recommendations that actually focus on the long term rather than on the present fixing of specific issues. There is a separate process in the Commission's enabling legislation for dealing with specific present day issues. But in terms of the key strategic focus, we need to be looking forward. So there should be no surprises, and the recommendations must be future orientated. Sound and informed policy advice, that is the evidence-based research that we must actually provide. So our advice must be informed by sound research. Now, that's a challenge for the Commission in the sense that in terms of our budget, the size of the budget that we have to juggle it in such a way that we are able to attract the best skills to be able to do the kind of research and to produce the kind of advice that we require for this particular kind of work. And it's not been a very easy process, but we think we are actually getting there. Knowledge management is really about
ensuring that the knowledge that is generated enhances the developmental impact and is mobilized from the Commission's perspective, both internally and external specialist talent that we actually can actually be able to get. So that's the outsourcing dimension of our research function. This is only not about research, it's also about sharing that knowledge, how we then disseminate that knowledge through publications, through workshops. We've done a number of workshops around Parliament here with a number of departments. We've done workshops with a number of similar state institutions. So that's part of a success culture. Basically, is what we emphasize as a commission, which basically means that we expect the best from our staff and from ourselves. And then there's the need to balance what our expectations and demands are against the present and the future, and also against the resource constraints that are available, especially in the period in which we are looking at. If we think about our own assessments about recovery from the global economic crisis in terms of what we said in 2009, we don't expect full recovery before 2015. So obviously it's going to be a tight environment, resources will be very scarce, and we have to balance all of those things as we move forward. Chairperson, if you allow me, let me give myself a break here and ask the Secretary of the Commission to give the details on some of the things that I've spoken.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. In terms of the first strategic goal, a stable intergovernmental fiscal relations system, what we've been doing is we've participated in the strategic planning processes of parliaments, and that would include, that would be in particular the Standing Committee on Appropriations, and we've done oversight. With the Parliamentary Finance Committee, including this committee, Appropriations Committee, Energy Committee, Health Committees, Economic Development Committees, Committee on Women, Children and Disabled People, and Committees on Cooperative Governance, Human Settlements, and we've also participated in the activities of technical committees of finance, particularly the summit that was held last year. On intergovernmental fiscal relations, which was hosted by National Treasury and the Department of Cooperative Governance. And in terms of strategic foresight, we are part of, we're at the forefront of research into issues of innovation, as the chairperson has already mentioned, climate change, the green economy, and we also monitor the impact of fiscal consolidation on the South African economy and the financial concerns, the provincial level, including the current interventions in some of the provinces, and the issues of sustainability within local government. And we are also participating in the long-term fiscal sustainability studies that government is currently carrying out. In terms of sound and informed policy advice, we released a technical report on the work that we did on the 2012-2013 submission for the Division of Revenue that was tabled before Parliament in May last year. Then in terms of knowledge management, we have internally developed unique models, and these include land use cost models for the Department of Land Use. We've also prepared some economic models on the national and provincial economy, and we've also done some energy-focused macro modeling. We maintain province and municipality data sets, and which are preserved for future use, and we have been disseminating the work of the Commission through workshops, parliamentary committees, public hearings, and media reports. In terms of the success culture, our researchers have actually published in accredited journals, international and national, and then we are authors or co-authors of book chapters. We publish technical reports, occasional papers. We've presented papers at conferences and working papers. In terms of balance, as the acting chairperson has actually said, we are trying to stick within the variance limit that the Auditor General has prescribed, and we have a balance of in-house and outsource capacity. Commissioner Adam, I think we'll deal with the next slide.
Before we get into the detail of APP, we thought it would be useful to actually just on one slide try and give members the big picture, because one tends to get lost in detail. So what the Commission wants to do is to make sure that our policy advice actually makes an impact on the intergovernmental system and how the intergovernmental system funds basic services and achieves socioeconomic rights. In order to do that, we need to make sure that we have proactive evidence-based advice and research. We also need to make sure that we produce the quality research and then communicate it to policymakers and the general public in a way that they can understand and act on our research. And to do those two elements of core business, which is basically doing the research and disseminating it, we need an effective secretariat to support those two functions. If we break those down further, we can see that in order to develop evidence-based advice, we need to have policy-oriented, innovative research, which is forward-looking. We need to be able to package those research papers in a user-friendly manner that policymakers can understand. We need to manage those the research strategy, how we implement the actual projects, and we need to make sure that we have cost-effective knowledge management. As far as stakeholders' interaction is concerned, we need to make sure that we continuously broaden the range of stakeholders with whom we interact, and we need to build domestic and international partnerships in research and in dissemination. Both those two functions, the research function and the dissemination function, have to be supported by an effective secretariat. That effective secretariat has to focus on ethical leadership and management, good corporate governance, accountable and transparent financial management, and effective asset management. And all of the details of this big picture will be spelled out in the APP. I'll hand back over to the Commission Secretary.
Thank you. In terms of deliverables, I'm not going to go through the list, but basically these are the list of deliverables that in terms of the law, the Commission during any 1 year is supposed to present. In terms of the deliverables, in terms of Section 3 of the Financial and Fiscal Commission Act, that is the stakeholder request, so all the things that we had to deal with and they make submissions on included submissions on the sense among the projects, submission on the green paper on cooperative governance, submission on the fuel levy allocations, submission on NISA, and submission on the special planning and the land use management bill for the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. We also made a submission on the amendment of the Ministerial Systems Act, to which reference has already been made, and we also made a submission on the Municipal Rates Property Amendment done. We also conducted an analysis for the Free State Legislature of the local government revenues and expenditure for municipalities in the Free State. And we also made a submission on an application by the Tekwini municipality for a local business tax. In terms of research, and all of this research is going to be tabled in the submission for the Division of Revenue that will be tabling in May. The overall theme is intergovernmental fiscal financing, innovation for moving people out of poverty. I'm not going to go into detail about this because I believe it's something that the acting chairperson has already dealt with, and is also going to be tabled in about actually next month. And that applies also to the next slide, where we'll be dealing, amongst others, with issues around disaster management, waste management, climate change, rural economy, alternative service delivery arrangements, capacity dynamics in local government CM, gender budgeting, and the impact of revenue disassignment assignment on the economic growth. Slide 20 is basically a summary of the strategic objectives of the Commission. And because I deal with these item by item in the following slides, I'm not going to go into detail in respect of that slide. Now, the first strategic objective of the Commission is to propel the Commission with a special focus on the Commission's mandate, vision, mission, and role, and the Commission's short and long-term strategy, its position on specific issues, and the Commission's challenges and achievements. In terms of what we've achieved in 2011-2012, is that we've upgraded our website and we have a presence in the social media, and I've already referred to the numerous engagements that we've held with the parliamentary committees, including the finance committees. And in terms of that particular objective, the status is that that has been achieved. And going forward, okay, we intend to build on that. As I say in the column under status, okay, we interacted with 14 committees in Parliament during the past financial year. And the idea this coming year is to engage with the four more committees, making it 18, in addition to the 9 provincial legislatures, government and organized local government, which we've also interacted within the past year. In terms of the second indicator, which talks to the stakeholder interaction on IDFR and IDFR issues, we held two stakeholder IDFR workshops. One was with the Standing Committee on Appropriations. The other one was the Gauteng Legislature one, which was cancelled. Was supposed to have been held on the 7th of March, but because of the protest action around the tolls, was cancelled. We still intend to have that one, hopefully before the end of this month. But in addition to the Gauteng one, we're hoping again to have two stakeholder IGFR workshops. In terms of Indicator 3, relationship building and consulting. What we've done last year, we have concluded two protocols of engagement, and we had the two public hearings that we've also referred to. The target was to conclude 8. The other 6 have actually been finalized, and they are simply pending before stakeholders for approval and adoption and implementation. The public hearings, those as we've already indicated, have already been done, and they were going to be having two more in June and August this year. In terms of collaborations and partnership, we intended to conclude two memoranda of understanding, and that we have done. One is with the Human Sciences Research Council of South Africa, and we already have programs that are joint programs that are running with the HSRC, and the FundRepen acronym stands for the Food and Agricultural Network Research. It's a very long one. I'm sorry. I'll remember it now and get back to it. But business as it may, we intend this year again to conclude two additional memoranda of understanding with similar type of institutions. This is based on the requirements of the what I call the Karagatma Committee to make sure that we collaborate with the institutions which do similar work as we do. Now, in terms of our second strategic objective, we need to ensure that the Commission research is converted to policy advice and recommendations written in a language that policymakers can understand. We have achieved that in terms of 2011-2012. There's a list of submissions that we made in the past year, and all of those have been presented in time. And in the coming year, we need to do exactly the same thing. In terms of the strategic objective to ensure that policy advice and recommendations respond to the needs of stakeholders, the indicator there is attending the stakeholder forums. I've given a list of stakeholder forums that we've attended. State of the Nation Address, the Budget Speech, Budget Report Lab, Budget Council and Forum, MinMax, State Committees on Finance, Parliamentary, Provincial, and exactly the same thing in this coming financial year. In terms of the foster care objective to ensure the generation of quality, innovative pioneering steps that informs IGFR strategic debate and choices, in terms of the current financial year, as we say, the indicator is peer-reviewed publications in accredited journals. We intend to publish about 14 of these, and last year we only published 11.6, simply because of staff movements. People move on to greener pastures, okay, without actually finishing what they could have been able to publish while still with the commission. In terms of the second indicator, recognized book chapters or working chapters or technical reports published, previous financial year we achieved 22, and in this current financial year we also intend to publish 22 of them. In terms of indicator 3, we're talking about the number of cognition research data sets, models, codes, syntax, and guides for future use. In the past year we did 22, and in the coming financial year we also intend to do 22. In terms of our sixth strategic objective, that is the progressive and innovative management of human resources, we are currently busy with an organizational development exercise. That exercise started basically last year, and because of resources, financial resources could not be completed, but we're hoping that we're going to complete that this current financial year. In terms of policies in the context of human resources, we basically reviewed and updated a number of policies, and this year we'll be focusing on our performance management system. In terms of indicator 3, the payment performance management that is fair, equitable, and consistent, we have achieved our objective of paying bonuses to not more than 20% of our senior management services and 25% of our middle management services. We intend to do the same thing this coming year. In terms of indicator 4, the minimum level of unoccupied but budgeted posts, we have in fact been able to achieve the target that we set for ourselves, and we intend to maintain that for the next financial year. Now, the next indicator 5, reward and recognition of staff in terms of commission policy. All our staff is remunerated according to the levels determined by circulars that are regularly published by the Department of Public Service Administration. We have achieved that the past financial year, and we intend to do that the coming financial year. Indicator 6, about minimum levels of absenteeism. Last year was less than 5%, and this year we intend to keep it at less than 5%. The maintenance of acceptable levels of misconduct and discipline. Only one staff member basically was disciplined in the past 5 years, in the past financial year, which makes it less than 3% of the total staff complement. And we intend to keep that the same in the coming financial year, if not at zero. In terms of the next indicator, targeted training and development, LP organizational training and development plan, we've managed to ensure that the training takes place at least 3 days per employee during the financial year. That was achieved during the past financial year, and that is still the plan for the coming financial year. The maximization of gender balance. We're looking at 60 for SMS male, and 40 for female MMS, same thing, and organization-wide, we're looking at the same thing. That has not been achieved. The reason why that has not been achieved is simply because the type of skills that the Commission is looking for are scarce, and it has been difficult to attract females, basically, into the Commission. We intend, however, to still pursue that gender balance in the coming financial year. Now, going to the next strategic objective, which deals with ICT, one of the problems that we've been having in terms of the AG is the absence of a strategy and policies and procedures. We have managed in the current financial year to complete a strategy for our IT, and the business continuity plan is in fact in place. And we're going to continue with that in the current financial year and hopefully finalize all our ICT policies and procedures. extend the 5GT again, upgrade of our ICT infrastructure. One of the things that we promised that we'd do would be was that we're going to replace one server. That has been done, and backups which are missing have also been done, and copiers which are giving us huge problems, that has also been done. There are a few outstanding pre-2007 IT, there is a few IT equipment that is still pre-2007 that we still need to replace, and we have budgeted for that, and that is going to happen this current financial year. In terms of connectivity and the network, we have partially achieved that, and we've done an audit, and we're in the process of appointing a new service provider for our connectivity and network, and that is going to happen by the end of May, as a matter of fact. In terms of ICT, again, efficient maintenance of ICT, we promised ourselves 8 hours downtime, okay, for the whole financial year, and we've actually achieved that, and we intend to stick to that. In terms of the management of commission assets, we've, as the indicator says, review and implement facilities management policies and procedures. We have done a number of them. We've reviewed our travel policy, asset management policy, and our telephone usage policy. All of these are designed to bring down the cost relating to all of this. And we are going to be appointing a new service provider for the rollout of the network. In terms of commission assets, again, asset management and utilization plan, the plan is in place. What needs to happen now is we just need to have it approved by the commission and implemented in this financial year. In terms of year-round maintenance of commission assets, we have been able to establish the useful life of all commission assets, and they were busy putting together a plan about what we're going to do going forward. Office space has been one of our challenges. That was a cost control measure. We wanted to reduce our office space in Midland by 42%. There were delays because we had to do this thing through the Department of Public Works. But starting last week, we are actually getting rid of the 42%. And by the end of this month, basically, will be less 42% of the space in Midland. In Cape Town, we're trying to reduce our office space by 50%. The unfortunate thing is that our contract for the Cape Town space only expires in January 2013, and we are hoping to do that before January 2013, but failing that by January 2013. Compliance with legislation, we have basically complied with all pieces of legislation. We have responded to all requests for advice and commentaries by stakeholders, and we intend to do that this coming year. And the tailoring of the annual report to Parliament, provincial legislatures, and local government, we've done that in 2011, and we're going to be doing that in September this year. The conduct of commission business in accordance with the law, commission's codes of governance, commission policies and procedures and best practice. We believe that we've been able to do that in 2011, 2012, and we still intend to do that in 2012, 2013. The next one relates to leadership, okay, in the commission. And when we speak about leadership in the commission, what we are focusing on is the assessment of performance, ensuring that there's optimal performance in the commission. We have implemented our performance management system, which is pretty comprehensive, successful in the past year, and we'll be doing that again in this coming financial year. National Archives requires us to have a file plan as a start for our knowledge management systems. In terms of indicator one, we need to have a file plan for electronic and paper-based documents. What we've done for 2011-2012 was to complete a syntax and table of reference for a file plan. And in 2012-2013, we're going to be developing the actual file plan, and we'll present that to National Archives for approval. We also, in terms of indicator two, active documentation of experiences, we need to develop a records management policies. That has been done, and those are actually in place. pardon me, those have been finalized, but they are pending approval and implementation in the commission. Digitalization of records, that requires software and equipment, and unfortunately, we did not have adequate resources. That has not been done, but hopefully that is going to be done in this current financial year. In terms of strategic objective number 11, which relates to the management of commission data and information, I'm not going to go into detail about this. Safe to say that we have policies in place and we intend to keep those. We have WizCat access that enables us to get all the information that we want, references that we want. We are partnering with other institutions to get materials on loan instead of buying them outright. And we have memoranda of understanding that we're concluding with the partner institutions about the sharing of information. In terms of reference books, we managed last year to get a donation of about 80 books at no cost to ourselves. And in the coming financial year, we're going to get at least four reference books for use by our research and recommendations program. And in terms of prudent and transparent management of our resources, our financial resources, we're looking for a clean audit. We'll only know in July this year whether we have a clean audit for the past financial year. But going forward, that is what we're going to be working towards, an unqualified audit opinion without any matters of emphasis. Access to alternative resources of funding. We're trying to get donations, monetary or in kind, that amount to at least 5% of our budget allocation. That has not been achieved. Sponsors are scarce, and we have a financial crisis, but we're still going to strive for that. In terms of our research strategy, our research strategy basically has four components, and that is our 2009 to 2014 research strategy. First component is about equitable growth path and distribution of public resources, and the programs I have listed below, macroeconomic analysis, growth, poverty and inequality, and revenue sharing among the three spheres of government and the progressive realization of constitutional rights. We also have as a component sustainable development, which looks into issues of infrastructure, services and social welfare, environmental economics, including the green economy and the knowledge economy. In terms of the next component, we've got accountable institutions, which looks into matters of taxation and revenue, the diversification of expenditure, and the institutions running these and fiscal accountability. Then finally, we have the stakeholder requests, which we call flexible ad hoc. Those are the requests that we get from time to time from stakeholders to give advice or comment on methods and that they require advice on. In terms of what we'll be doing this current financial year, our thematic focus is levers to unlock the value for decadal development. We're talking here about people, places, institutions, and the economy. Now, we've got a number of research projects that we'll be doing this year. And I'm not going to go through the list itself. Safe to say that we'll be dealing with issues of child support, green job creation, budget consolidation, social spending, forecasting, provincial personnel expenditures and service delivery, informality in the human settlements delivery system in South Africa, public transport subsidies, and the devolution and delivery of public transport infrastructure. We're also going to be dealing with the delivery of school infrastructure, subnational government budget gaps. We're going to be dealing with grant performance assessments, conditional grant performance and assessment. We're going to be dealing with incentive for rewarding performance in the public sector. water distribution infrastructure. We're also going to be dealing with the question of the tax basis of rural municipalities. We're also going to be dealing with, as already mentioned, health conditional grants and the no-fee school policy. On slide 40, there are quite a number of others, and I'll ask members to look at those. Then, in terms of our finances, our chief financial officer is going to speak to that.
Thanks, Chair and Honourable Member. I think slide number 41 and 42 just summarize the details of how do we spend our money in terms of the strategic objectives that the Commission Secretary has given. And this is where also even National Treasury and other institutional levels have checked whether what we put as part of our strategic objectives, are we achieving those objectives, and this is where they look at the basis of whether we should get any base increase on the baseline allocation. I think through the intervention of the Parliament and also the National Treasury, looking at what the Commission has been doing the past few years, we're able also to increase our baseline allocation going forward, starting from 13-14 and 14-15, and I'll give you the details of that in the other slide. Just this is a summary of the details objectives that the Commission Secretary has gone through. And then in terms of slide number 43, the slide number 43 just gives the history of the funding of the the Commission and also how we've been performing in the past years and also what have you how have you performed in 2010-11, the past financial year, and also the estimated figures for 2011-12 and also going forward. And I must say that with the help of Parliament and also the intervention that has been done by our commissioners regarding this, we're able to increase our baseline allocation going forward. And I think our acting chairperson has already explained that because one of the major issues was around the issue of the going concern that Auditor General raised in terms of our liquidity. But I think going forward, we have tried to address that. That is reflected by an increase in our grant allocation from 12-13 to 37.2 million and 13-14 to 39.1 million and 14-15 will get around about 40 million around that. In terms of the analysis of that slide, I think it has been evident that there has been a growth in the business of the Commission, and with starting from which we look at 2006 and 2007, where we started to experience deficit, and we had to ensure that we look at our strategy and try to address our resources to the right direction. I think we should highlight that the major cost drivers of the Commission it's a human resource based institution. Our major cost drive is around personnel cost and followed by the professional fees. Like I think the acting chair has highlighted the issues of the audit fees and so on. And also with the Commission Secretary, when you are explaining the strategy of the Commission, there were stakeholder engagement costs that we are envisaging as a Commission going forward, but we are trying to deal with this as we go along. And also in 2011-12, there is an evidence that with the intervention that was done through National Treasury and Parliament, we are able to stabilize our liquidity in terms of the finances. And we also received a grant for 2012-13 of an increase of 3 million in our baseline allocation, which is comparative of 12% compared to what we had in the previous year. And the overall baseline increase that we have received over the MTF is around about 7 million, which is going to be spread along the 3 years. In terms of the commission is not only looking in terms of the allocation that we receive from Treasury, we also look at the funding through looking for donor funding for 12-13. It's one of the things that we're going to look at, as they've explained in our strategy, that so that to deal with some of the palliatives with Limpopo Portal Treasury, Ekurhuleni Metro, and Free State Committee, where the Commission partnered with these organs of state to carry out its work and its process, managed to save the cost. Such initiative will be pursued even more going forward. And also with a memorandum of understanding that they've already explained earlier on with human research councils that we are trying to have that, and UNICEF and the Food and Agricultural Policy Research Network and the Municipal Demarcation Board to share the capacity on joint project of mutual interest. And also we'll be looking to have an 18th anniversary IGFR conference scheduled to take place this year. And in terms of the remarks, I think on the opening remarks, our acting chairperson has touched on some of the base of the things that are highlighted here. That the main one is to ensure that even if we get this increase on the MTF, is to ensure that the austerity measures that the Commission has put in place continue even in the MTF period, and also we've tried to look at other measures within the Commission of how to cut costs, and the Commission Secretary highlighted in terms of the office space to ensure that we cut costs on both our Midrand offices and also in our Cape Town offices. We're going to reduce our Midrand offices by 52%, and also are planning to do the same in this current financial year for our Cape Town office. And we'll continue resource preservation in the implementation of the SSC strategy. Whilst we understand that there are a lot of things that we have to do, but we have to ensure that we are within our budget and our allocation so that we don't go into over budget or over expenditure. And our strategy is to ensure that the accumulated deficit that we have in the previous year is being reduced as we go along.
Chairperson, I think that is the full presentation of both the strategy and the annual performance plan. Our strategy, obviously, is a three-year one in terms of the corporate strategy, but we also have a five-year research strategy that we developed in 2009, which was still implementing or rolling out. And as you would see, we're trying to direct our research into those four key areas that will form the basis of the core business of the Commission. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Kumalo, and your team. Members, I'm going to allow for a 10-minute stretch break. And then from there, we will continue to interrogate the presentation. Thank you very much.